have a home Bible study if you're interested. Give me a call, and I can have you call my assistant pastor at Pentecostal Cottonport in Cottonport, Louisiana. Praise the Lord, and we can do home Bible study. And our ministry and mission is to get the word of the Lord out, especially in these days and times. We need to really, really, really rely on God's word. That's the only way we can make it. That's the only way I found out in life where I am today, that it only was through the word of God. So I thank the Lord, and I appreciate you for listening and tuning in. To God be the glory. Appreciate you tuning in again next week, God willing, on Tuesday, 11:45 to 12 noon. Thank the Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
lives. And stand on your feet. In honor of the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. And I'm going to tell you before I even read the text what the title of the message is today. And it is simply this: Lord, have your way. Isaiah chapter 48, beginning at verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Lord, have your way. I'm so excited about this word today because even though I had previously titled this message, Difficult Times, Reasons for Your Seasons. And the reason for our seasons come in because we need to recognize and acknowledge the fact that God is in control. God knows what's going on. God needs not us, but we need God. And when we understand what God is doing, we can understand that through difficult times, God deals with us in ways that define us and develop us and bring us to a greater place of maturity in Him. And every time, listen at this, God allows us to deal with problems and trials and tribulations and situations. It's not always because we've sinned or because we've fallen short or we've missed the mark, but it is simply time for another promotion. It's simply time for God to take us to another place. It's simply time for God to push us out of the nest and cause us to stretch out our wings and learn to fly. But in this case, historically, Israel has disobeyed God. They have turned to idol gods. They have been less than what God had desired or designed them to be. And God is a holy God and a just God. Yes, he's merciful, but he's a holy and a just God. And he loves us too much to let us have our own way and never say nothing about it. So I want you to see this word, because Israel has a stern, stiff-necked, hard-hearted nature. They have a tendency to continuously go against the word, the will, and the way of God. And so you're going to see, as he starts off in verse 1, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness." In other words, he says, you're calling on the name, but you're just playing. You know the name, but you don't have relationship. He says, you're going to church, but church ain't in you. Listen at verse 2. "For they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name." He says, verse 3, "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass." First thing I want you to note is about God having his own way is this, that God is in control of the situation. God is in control of the situation. One of the things God makes clear in his word is, listen, what you see now that has come to pass, I spoke it from the beginning before there was ever a realization of the situation. I spoke it so that you would know I am the one who brought that thing or allowed that thing to come to pass. Why is this important for you to know? It's important for you to know for one reason. One, that God is in control of the situation no matter how chaotic the situation may seem. In other words, even when bad things happen to good people, and even things when good things happen to bad people, and even when things happen you don't understand, and even when things happen you do understand, it is all because God is in control, and he's allowed everything that you are experiencing to go through for more than one reason. I've got to keep reminding the believers, especially in these difficult times, that God is in control. Now listen, let me say this. There are things that happen to you. You are the first one to know why they happen. Sometimes we can sit there with that pious look on our face like, we don't know why this is happening to us. We don't know why we're going through this. We don't know why me, Lord. There are a lot of us who know exactly why we're going through what we're going through. That's why when certain sicknesses come upon us, we know that we were partakers in that sickness because we didn't do what we were supposed to do, or we did what we weren't supposed to do. And as a result of not taking care of the temple right, this was the result of that. We know exactly why some things happen like they happen. But then there are other things that happen we don't even have a clue that they've happened. And these are the times that the believers have got to understand God is in control. That God knows what's going on, and we don't always understand why, but Romans 8:28 ought to come to the forefront of our thinking that says, "And we know." I may not know why this thing is happening now and why it's happening like this, but something I do know is clear, that all things work together. For how? For good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And it makes me realize whether it's my good or whether it's my bad, because I belong to God, what God has allowed, he's going to work it until it is fully manifested into the good for the glory of his name and for me. You know, sometimes when children, as they're growing up and being reared, and you sit down and you talk to them and you teach them and you tell them, don't do this. And you say, no, little Johnny, don't do this. No, little Mary, don't do this, blah, 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 blah. And they do it anyway. Well, then after you've told them so many times, don't do it, then you got to put a little power behind your words. And you tell them, don't do it. And they go to do that, and you tap the little hand. And they look at you like. And then they try again, and you tap a little harder. Now they're wondering if you're crazy for hitting them, but they about to do this again. Maybe you don't understand. I'm going to do. And then you tap it a little harder, and then they, and just go on, fall on out. But here's what they know. Even if they do it when they think you're not looking, they're watching for you. I wish I had a witness here. There are things God allows us to do, and sometimes when we think God isn't looking, we think we're getting away, but God reminds us he's still in control of your situation. He lets us get by, but he doesn't let us get away. And so know that God is in control. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, God is in control of your situation. Listen again what verse 3 and 5 says. It says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Listen again. Verse 5 says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image had commanded them. See, in other words, sometimes we don't always understand that God reminds you he's in control. And just when you think you're doing it all by yourself, it's because of what you have. It's because of what you've accomplished. It's the things that you've done, or it's the things that you've made that you take the credit for. God says, listen, before you and your things came to pass, I already spoke it, and I brought it to pass. And so you don't forget, I've got a record that it was going to happen when I said it was going to happen. And he wants his credit for what he does in our lives. We ought to stop giving the devil our credit and the job and our degrees and our this and our that. We need to make sure that God gets the glory for all the good that happens in our lives. He's had this issue with Israel time and time again, but not just with Israel historically, but with his people, period. Yes. It's amazing that God has to keep on reminding us, I did this for you. I bet you can go back in the Word and trace all your blessings and benefits back to what God said before they ever happened. As a matter of fact, I don't know who you are, don't care how old you are right now. Every good and every perfect gift that came to you, I can tell you where it came from. It's in his word. From our Father up above, in whom there's no variableness, there is no changing. He is all that he say he is and will do all he said he'll do. So here's what you need to know. He deserves the glory for every good thing that happens in your life. He may allow it to come through one situation, one circumstance, one person, or one avenue, but he is the one through which it comes originally. I want you to see something else. Two, God allows us to go through tough times for our refinement, for our revealings. But it all turns out for his glory. Now this is important because I want you to see this. Let's move through this, because as you read this in your own private time, you'll see how all of this fit together. But verse 10 says this, behold, I have refined thee. Now listen to this. But not with silver, or as the New American Bible standard says, see, I have refined you though not as silver. Listen at this. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And so listen at what he's saying. He says, I have refined you, but I didn't do it like I do silver. And refining is always a purifying process. But listen at this. Instead, he says, I changed it from the fire in the furnace to afflictions in the furnace. In other words, I chose not to use heat, but I made it hot enough for you to handle it. In other words, he chose the source of heat to be your afflictions. And you got to understand that word affliction, it doesn't mean simply those things connected with sickness, but it's literally those things that have to do that try you, that test you, that you go through. He says, again, I have refined you. I've tested you. I've tried you. I'm showing you that you are who I say you are. But the problem is I've got to let you go through some stuff before you will get it into your head. And so sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we wonder why this is happening, why God put us in this predicament, why God allow us to be in this predicament. Sometimes, be it negative or positively, we understand that God's will is to be done. And while we may not always understand it at the time it's being done, what we ought to understand is it ought to be God's way and not our way. Because it is through our afflictions many times that he brings us to new levels of blessings. Sometime as he purifies us, and listen at this well, it is a process again through which he removes from us impurities. And so our afflictions sometime are painful. Why are they painful? Because here's what happens, and a whole lot of folk don't understand, that with certain metals, there is a process inside of the chemical balances of the agents, and sometimes they fuse together. And so sometimes, have you noticed on certain metals that certain oils and certain things attach to themselves, and it literally changes the color of the metal? They leave a spot or a stain, or they stick to that as almost to be fused together by fire, but fire didn't do it. And then the color begins to change. Just like, again, when you're talking about silver, or when you're talking about brass, or even sometimes gold. The process of refinement is this, that the heat is used to, at a rate that is capable of burning off impurities, doesn't bother what is real, doesn't bother what is pure. It starts from the outside and works itself to the inside. And here's what you need to know. It depends on the level of purification that God is trying to get you to. Sometimes, listen at this, because it is a process and it's not done all at one time. Sometimes it's just to get your color right. So the stuff that's all on you that has changed your color and hidden the real glow of you, it starts burning that stuff off. And when it gets that stuff off, a shimmer and a shine. Folks start looking at you and wondering, "Woo, you look good. What you got on you? You just got a glow on you. Girl, what's that you wearing? Jesus?" Oh, some of y'all ain't caught that. It ain't none of the makeups and all of the stuff folk put on to get that kind of glow. That kind of glow comes from the glory of the Lord on you. And listen at this, and when he gets that stuff off you, it goes to another level of purification. And so it keeps going on until it gets you to the point where the hard stature or status becomes soft and soft and softer until it melts and it has lost its form. And it is melted down, and it becomes liquid form. And listen at this. Then are you able to be poured in a mold and shapen like God wants you to be. Sometimes you got to have a meltdown before you have a makeover. Somebody ought to hear me here. Sometimes you've got to have a meltdown to get to the purest part of you and to get all of that stuff off of you that is not like you nor like him. And God wants to get you to the purest state before he remakes you and places you on higher levels. You remember Jeremiah? God told Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And when you get to the potter's house, I'm going to show you something. And Jeremiah got down to the potter's house, knocked on the potter's door. He said, come on in. What can I do for you? He said, I don't really know. The Lord sent me here. So the man said, well, listen, I got work to do. Let me just go on and get to my work. He said, go on. Jeremiah watches the potter takes from a big old mold of clay, a handful of clay, and he throws it on the wheel. And that was a foot pedal that the potter would work that spent the wheel. And he'd reach in one hand and pour water on that clay. And then he'd take that clay in his hand and he began to mold that clay. But before he ever put it on the wheel, he already had the ideal of what that clay was going to be when he got through with it. And he would just pump the wheel and he would mold and shape that clay. Get some more water when it got a little hard so he could make it pliable and easy. And when he'd get through making it what he wanted to be, he'd look it over and inspect it. But this time he noticed that there was a mar in the jar. That was a crack in the pot. And he says, let me do this thing over again. So he threw it back down on the wheel and started working the wheel, got some more water, reshaped it and remade it. And then when he got through with it and looked at it again, it was everything he wanted to be. And he told Jeremiah, did you get it, Jeremiah? Won't you tell Israel they are like clay in my hand, and I shape them and I mold them, and when they mess up, I could have thrown them away, but instead of throwing them away, I made them back over again. And aren't you glad when you mess up? Aren't you glad when you make your mistakes? Aren't you glad when you do your own thing that God loves you enough not to throw you away? But he got to break you down. And he throws you back on the wheel. And he starts reshaping you and remaking you from the inside. I tell somebody, I thank God he's got his hands on me. Woo, glory. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Oh, it may be hard while he has his hands on you. But I can promise you when he gets through with you, what hurts now will be a blessing later. And listen at this word, my brothers and sisters. Verse 11 says, again, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. What will he do? He says, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction for mine own sake. Because we are called by his name. And he does this for his own name's sake. You belong to God. You have God's name as a child of God. You're connected to God's family. And I mean, I don't know how about many of you, but back in the day, people's names were important to them. And so they took pride in their names. And I've shared with you many times before, older people who didn't have nothing but a good name protected and honored that name and wanted you to know that they took pride. Matter of fact, they used to say things like, you know, a man's bond, his word is his bond. And things like that meant something to them. And if they told you something, they backed it up with their names.
because that's all they had to do. And that's why when folk wanted to come courting their daughters, they wanted to know who your people is. Because they knew that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. And what they did realize, and I need you to hear this, that the DNA seed was in the fruit that had been produced. And they had sense enough to know that there had to be something right about the fruit in order for there to be something right about the seed. Y'all gonna catch that on you. And so they were careful about their name. All through the Word in the Old Testament, God is concerned and careful about His name. Amen. And you call yourself a child of God. Listen, no, you're not perfect. No, you're not everything God wants you to be. But there's just some things God just expects you to do differently. There's one thing to be weak. And there's another thing to be wicked. There are things on the inside of you God's still working and dealing and pruning and getting you together. And every now and then you get weak, but it's just another thing to be wicked and act like God is no kin to you. My brothers and sisters, he says, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Y'all don't know who you're playing with. You know, when God gives you enough time of understanding and you should have learned the lesson and God's given you time to process it, he say, talk time is over now. And he reaches for his belt. I used to love that when mama would get upset with me and she'd tell me, give me your belt. Yeah. And when I knew I was going to get it, I used to go inside and take my belt off before I got inside. But she knew where other belts were. And she would go and get them and make sure that she made me understand talk time was over. Ain't no more talking about this. You already know. And our problem with many of our children today is they are as hellish as they are, as bad as they are, unruly, disrespectful, and no good as they are, because the parents have spared the rod and spoiled the child. When I told little Johnny it's enough times, it ain't no more telling him it's enough. I'm gonna show him. Well, you better be careful, Pat. They're gonna call Charles, and I got something for them too. I'm responsible for rearing my child in the way that he ought to go, and when he grows up, he won't be like the world's children, because God has given that responsibility to me. Talking about if it was back in the day, a whole lot of folk would have been in jail. Well, we'd have just turned the jails around because we'd have been in there straightening out folk. Because back then, they didn't care what they picked up. They picked up a curling iron, a broom, a chair, a bat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you might go to school with whips all over you, but I bet you didn't act a fool when you got to school. The teacher knew what was going on. The children knew what was going on. And if you wanted some more of that, just act crazy. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Teachers can't even teach right. Students can't even learn right. Because your child in school acting a fool. It used to be a time teacher said, I'm going to call your mama, I'm going to call your daddy. And fear would enter into the child. They'd be like, call them. Ain't nobody scared. I'll call. You want me to call them on my cell phone? But how many back in the day knew when they had mamas and grandmamas they could call? And some of the mamas said, don't let me have to leave work. Lord. And some of you stayed with Big Mama. Big Mama would come with a robe on and even hold hat on. On her head, come there and snatch that Oh, y'all acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to remind you, God is saying, I will do the same to my children. I'm not going to let my name